Have you noticed that the world has been shifting and accepting sexual perversion in the church? Well, the Lord is trying to clean house. And in this message today, the Lord had me share a specific word that has been building up in me for the past month through spiritual attacks, through dreams and visions, in order to prepare to share this word with you. So my prayer is that it will bless you. It will give you insight. It will cause you to take a second look at yourself. And also, wherever you are located, be sure that you use discernment, that you're asking God and you're seeking God for revelation and instruction and strategy. Stay tuned to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say. Welcome. So welcome to Facebook and YouTube. I'm already live on Instagram as well. If you're on Instagram, you want to go to Facebook and YouTube, you can also go up there as well to see this live broadcast. And so as you guys can see by today's title, it is a word from the Lord called Sexual Perversion in the Church. And so, yeah, that's right. Beauty class and gray. This is the conversation that needs to be had. Absolutely. This word, it's so good. It's so layered, y'all. It's so layered. And so I ask for those of you who are believers and believe in the word of God truly in its entirety, just pray for me. Pray for me, okay, that I get through this word because it's so meaty, it's so layered. And as always, I always have a story as to how God gives me a prophetic word for his church, okay? Thank you so much. I pray. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. Okay. And so I haven't been live, you guys, in probably about 3 to 4 weeks. I have been busy doing some assignments God has given me to complete. It is so interesting because right when I got finished, with my assignments, the Lord began to tell me to release this word. And honestly, this word has been like building up in me for the past month. And I had no idea. And typically I kind of know, but because I believe I've been so busy behind the scenes, you know, getting things done, I wasn't missing the signs per se, but I really hadn't had a chance to really sit with God. Say, okay, God, what are you showing me? Is something deeper going on here, right? And so let me go back. And so this word, the ruling of this word, goes back for me about a month. Okay. So in the month of March, I got attacked heavily with the spirit of lust. Okay. I'm not going to go into all the details of what happened, but it was definitely spiritual. Long story short, I have my little notes here, but before I get to it, I want to pray. So, Father, I thank you for this word. I'm sorry for not praying, God. I want to go ahead and get in and get it to your people today. Holy Spirit, have your way. Holy Spirit, let those who have an ear to hear your word, hear the word, God. Let it convict them, but also show them that, God, there's still grace for them. There's still mercy for them. Father, help me to execute this word, God, and say what you want me to say. Christ's name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. And so with that being said, about a month ago, I had got attacked heavily with a spirit of lust. Okay. And I'm trying to think how I should say it without like revealing like everything about a person that might see this later. Okay. So anywho, I'll just say it. So, I currently, I work part-time on base now and, I have to go through the gate every day. Okay. And so there's several gates as to how you get onto base. All right. And so I went through one particular gate one morning about a month ago. And it was a soldier who was at the window, okay, my window, taking my ID. And so that particular day, it really caught me off guard because he looked at my ID, looked at my name and gave it to me. But in that moment, you guys, I felt this heavy spirit of lust literally like jump on me. And I knew, I said, oh my God, let me press. I'm praying against that spirit, praying. And it was heavy now. It's like the first time I've been attacked in this way from any kind of spirit, but the spirit of lust, you guys, it's very, very strong. Okay. And so I was praying against it. And you guys, lo and behold, my God, 2 days later, I went through a different gate thinking that I would not see this particular person. And you guys, listen, I'm married. All right. I have my ID in this hand on my left hand side, giving them my ID. Okay. So you can see that I'm married. You can see my name or whatever. So I came through the gate the second time. Okay. And this time he was being very, very flirtatious. I said, oh my God, this spirit is bold. Okay. Now, mind you, okay, I get comments here and there, but y'all, honestly, people don't approach me like that. They don't. They really, I'm always keeping myself covered in prayer. And my husband is my head. My husband, he covers me. Okay. My husband and I, we are very, very close. Okay. So whatever affects me affects him and vice versa. So that was the second time, and I had to continue to pray. And I'm like, God, I am wrestling with this thing, and this spirit is strong, okay? So I'm praying, all right? So I was saying prayers like, Lord, convict him. Lord, you know, I pray that he just gets to know who you are. I'm praying for his soul more than anything, okay? I know it's spiritual, it's his spirit, right? And I'm like, he don't even care that I'm married. He don't care. I'm like, God, but you care. I care. I'm in covenant with you and my husband, right? So I had called, my best friend had called me, Shakita, how you doing? I'm like, girl, pray for me. This is what happened. Girl, you know, pray for me. So she was, right? And so then I went to the gate again on a different gate, a whole different area 2 days later, and he was there. But this time, you guys, he had nothing but pure respect for me. Because the second time I saw him, he saw my ID. I knew for a fact that he was looking at my address. He was looking at my name, my birthday, and everything. He held it way too long, okay? And so I was praying, God, is he going to look me up on social media or whatever? Whatever he find, God, let him find you, okay? And he did. I knew he did. Because the third time I saw him, you guys, it was completely different. He was like, yes, ma'am, you know, have a great day. It was like he was like composing himself. That was God, y'all. That wasn't Shakita. That was the Lord and the prayers that me and my best friend was having, you know, the power of agreement, right? And so that happened. I'm like, okay, God, and dodged that bullet. I didn't pray. I'm free. But then I began to start having dreams about the spirit of lust attacking me again, attacking my marriage, attacking me. And it was like different scenarios all through the month of March. And, you know, I write everything down that God is showing me that I'm seeing. And I had this particular dream like 4 or 5 different times. So by this time in the mix, I told my husband, like, hey, babe, I'm having this dream about X, Y, Z. I need for you to pray for me. He said, well, babe, guess what? I am too. So he too was having dreams about, you know, people approaching us, wanting us to do threesomes and foursomes and different things of this nature, right? But it was all within like the church, y'all. They were church people. They weren't like unbelievers. They were people who declared to be believers, you guys. And so I'm like, okay, God, this is a battle. So then my best friend, she calls me, Shakita. She was like, I was in prayer, you know, for you today. And the Lord was telling me to pray for you in reference to the spirit of lust and perversion because it's attacking you. I'm like, oh my God, girl, yes, it is. It is. It's attacking me. And so not only that, she had a dream as well about a man trying to have sex with both me and her, okay? And so me and her are like, wow, okay, this is definitely, you know, a battle. What is going on? So we begin to pray against it as well together. So here's me, my husband, my best friend. The three of us are in agreement. We're praying about it in our own separate time, private time. And so it began to cease, but I still had a dream here and there. And so this was like this week. So I believe it was Tuesday. She called Shakita. She's like, hey, I'm right now. I can't really talk about it in great detail. She said, but tomorrow, let's schedule a time to really sit because in prayer today, the Lord revealed to me that what's happening is not about us per se, but it's about the body of Christ. And he wanted me to share with you what he gave me, right? So I'm like, okay, sis, all right, I'll talk to you tomorrow around 2 p.m. or whatever time we had scheduled, right? So I'm coming home from work and I go to my husband. I'm like, babe, I'm like, you know, Kaya called me and told me this and that. And so I'm telling him what she's told me. And in the midst of that, God began to speak to me and he said, I'm going to have you to release a word to the body of Christ about sexual perversion and how sick and tired I am of this happening in the body of Christ. I said, my God. And I fell to my knees, y'all. And I was like, oh, my God. And he was like, what you guys have been experiencing is what's happening in the body of Christ right now. Your dreams, your visions, what you've been feeling, what you've been battling with. It's not your battle per se, but the battle within the body of Christ. And I'm like, wow. And y'all, I'm going to tell y'all, as I begin to, you know, give you this word today, some of the dreams I had and what God was showing me about these particular dreams, because me and my husband ain't about that life, okay? Like, listen, I love my husband. He loved me. ain't nothing going on over here. You, it ain't happening. All right. So I'm putting that disclaimer out there. All right. And none of us are exempt from being attacked with anything, with any kind of spirit. Right. I've already defeated this spirit. My husband has too. So I'm like, God, why is it coming up so strongly again like this? Right. And he began to tell me, it's not your battle. The battle belongs to the Lord, of course, but it's what's happening in the body of Christ. All right. So those of you who have an ear, listen. Okay. So he said, so God is so strategic, y'all. He's so strategic. My God. So in the month of March, or also in February, I have been studying the 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, right? And if you are a person who read the New Testament, I hope you are, by the way, the Lord reminded me of what I read in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And it says this. I'm going to read it. Very short, but very meaty. Okay. And so Paul had wrote a letter to them, corrected them in addressing the things they were doing wrong in the body of Christ. Now, as you know, in New Testament, you know, every church has something that needs to be addressed. Every church has strengths and weaknesses, right? But we can't be so focused on our strengths that we're not looking at our weaknesses as well. So here he's addressing them because they are operating in sexual immorality and sexual perversion, okay? So chapter 5 says this, it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and the kind of sexual immorality that is not even tolerated among the Gentiles. A man is sleeping with his father's wife, and you are arrogant. Shouldn't you be filled with grief and removed from your congregation, the one who did this? Even though I am absent in the body, I am present in the spirit. As one who is present with you in this way, I have already pronounced judgment on the one who has been doing such a thing. When you are assembled in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I am with you in spirit with the power of our Lord, hand that one over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. So far, you know, Paul is addressing them saying, hey, you guys are pretty much tolerating this kind of behavior in the body of Christ. You know, this man is sitting here sleeping around with his father's wife. So why haven't you addressed him? Why haven't you corrected him? Why are you entertaining that? And many are doing that today. They're covering up people's stuff in the church instead of correcting them and calling them out within the body. Okay. Verse 6, your boasting is not good. Don't you know that a little leaven leavens the whole batch of dough? So they're like, okay, only one little thing that we're doing wrong. Okay. He's like, no, like whenever you tolerate these certain things, right, it can corrupt the whole body. It can corrupt the body of Christ, right? To clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new unleavened batch, as indeed you are. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us observe the feast, not with old leaven or with the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. My God. So he was like, don't forget about truth. Don't forget about Christ. Christ still loves holiness. Like, you guys, who now and today, you guys, a lot of people who are calling themselves Christians do not honor holiness. They do not honor holiness. God still cares about how we live our life in the dark, about what we're doing behind the scenes. Those things matter to God. My God. So verse 9 says this, I wrote to you in a letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. I did not mean the immoral people of this world or the greedy and swindlers of adulteries. Otherwise, you would have to leave the world. But actually, I wrote this letter to you not to associate with anyone who claims to be a brother or sister and is sexually immoral or greedy. Okay, an adulterer or verbally abusive, a drunkard or a swindler. Do not even eat with such a person. For what business is it of mine to judge outsiders? Don't you judge those who are inside. God judges outsiders. Remove the evil spirit from among you. So he was saying, and even y'all, this is so good. And the Lord is like, They're entertaining it. You're sitting here breaking bread with people who are deliberately sinning. There is a difference between having to wrestle with something, like, okay, God, I'm battling with addiction. I'm battling with, you know, I'm battling with different things, and you're trying to get free, versus you are like embracing it. You don't care. You don't honor God. You don't honor his word. You don't honor holiness. You don't honor purity. God is sick of it, y'all. He is sick of it. He allowed me to feel this spirit in different capacities, y'all, in different capacities. My God, I said, wow, God, no wonder. And it's that spirit is strong, but it's not stronger than God. It is not stronger than the Lord Almighty. We have all, y'all, we already have authority, and we have defeated the spirit through the power of Jesus Christ, okay? So if you were battling with this spirit, I promise you, God has given you in a way of escape, right? Go get healing. Go get deliverance. Don't be shameful. There's nothing to be ashamed about. I remember for me, when I first got saved, I had to come out of that lifestyle. I was not a virgin, okay, before I got saved, all right? And so that spirit was on me heavily as well. So God had to heal me and deliver me, but it was a wrestle. I had to wrestle with the word of God. I shared that before in a live I did a while back about wrestling for your healing and your deliverance, y'all. It is worth it. Your freedom is worth it. Is it hard at times? Yes, it is. But I would wrestle with the word of God and get free in his timing than sit here and risk my soul being condemned to hell. Okay? It's worth it, y'all. It's worth it. Okay? I promise if you cry out to God, God will help you with this. He will. All right? So with that being said, if you go back, read once again, 1 Corinthians, chapter 5, and in its entirety, okay? So then I talked to my best friend the next day, all right? And the Lord had already told me, he said, when you speak with her, I'm going to give you more clarity on what to release to the body of Christ, okay? So we got on the phone on that Wednesday, and she took me to Revelation chapter 17, okay? I'm going to go to it right now so I can get ready to read that too, okay? And we read 17, and I, Shoshakita, it's so weighty. It's very weighty. Okay. Revelation is a book. My God, if you read it, it will convict you. Okay. It's a revelation, you know, is about, you know, John. He is, you know, trying to prepare the body of Christ for what's to come. And you guys, some of these things are already taking place today. It is, okay? And so if you have your Bible, if you want to go back and look at it now or later, please do so. But I'm going to read chapter 17. And so we just read that chapter. And so when she said, Shakita, it's more to it, the Lord told me, keep reading. So we got the phone because she had to go take care of her mom. And her mom, who has Alzheimer's right now. and so with that being said, I read 17, 18, 19, and 20. And I took out time to really hear what the Lord was saying. And so, of course, you know in part, we prophesy in part. God did not give me revelation on everything that I read per se in detail, but some things that he did. And so I know that if you take out time to read his word as well, God will give you more clarity, and he will give you revelation as to what he is saying about this word. Okay. Let me go to 17. So, by the way, I'm reading from, this is the actually English Standard Bible. This is Dr. Tony Evans Bible. I love this Bible. I have many Bibles, but this right here so far is my favorite one. So I'm going to read 17. It says this: then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and spoke with me. He said, come, I will show you the judgment of the notorious prostitute who was seated on many waters. The kings of the earth committed sexual immorality with her, and those who lived on the earth became drunk on the wine of her sexual immorality. Then he carried me away in the spirit to a wilderness. He said, I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was covered with blasphemous names and had seven heads and 10 horns. The woman was dressed in purple and scarlet, adorned with gold, jewels, and pearls. She had a golden cup in her hand filled with everything detestable and with the impurities of her prostitution. On her forehead was written a name, a mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes and of the detestable things of the earth. Verse 6, then I saw that the woman was drunk with blood of the saints and with the blood of the witnesses to Jesus. When I saw her, I was greatly astonished. Okay, this is Paul, you know, writing about this woman, right? So thank God, you guys. And the next verse, the Lord interprets to him what he saw. So I'm going to read that part too. So verse 7, okay. Then the angel said to me, why are you astonished? I will explain to you the mystery of the woman and of the beast with the seven heads and the 10 horns that carries her. And y'all, when I read about the seven heads, right, the Lord began to speak to me. He said, these are the seven mountains of influence. My God. He said it was the entertainment mountain, art, you know, art, entertainment and art, family, religion. So look that up. Look up the seven mountains of influence. This spirit is reigning in all these areas: business, education, government, media. We see it, y'all. If you're a believer, you have eyes to see, you see that. We see it, right? Okay, so verse 8, the beast that you saw was and is not and is about to come up from the abyss and go to destruction. Those who live on the earth whose names have not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world will be astonished when they see the beast that was and is not and is to come. All right, so this beast exists now, my God. And y'all, this is so good. And at one point, you know, in the future, it will be defeated for 1,000 years. Then after that, it will come back and then Christ will defeat it again. My God, this calls for a mind that has wisdom. Okay. All right. This is verse 9. The seven heads or the seven mountains on which the woman is seated, like I just said, of influence, right? They are also seven kings. Five have fallen. One is, the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must remain for only a little while. The beast that was and is not is itself an eighth king, but it belongs to the seven and it's going to destruction. And so right here, y'all, this is what the Lord was showing me. My God. Okay, demons, y'all, they work together, but they also destroy each other. Think about it. Look at everything that's going on in the world right now. If you look at, you know, going to Hollywood, what's going on with these celebrities and how they're exposing each other, that's what's happening right here in scripture. Okay, for a little while, they are in cahoots with each other, you know, doing things together, doing foul things together, right? But as soon as one person gets exposed or one thing happens, right, where it exposes them, they all want to expose each other and hurt and kill each other, right? Because they don't want to be exposed too. So right here, this is what's happening right now. Okay, verse 12, the 10 horns you saw are 10 kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but they will receive authority as kings with the beast for 1 hour. Okay, hour is not our hour. An hour is God's hour. Okay, so I'm not sure how long the hour is. Okay, these have one purpose and they give their power and authority to the beast. These will make war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will conquer them because he is Lord of lords and King of kings. Those with him are called chosen and faithful. These are the body of Christ, the people who are holy. Those of us who are seeking after Christ with all of our heart and trying our best to live right, not imperfection, but we're pursuing God. We love the Lord, right? And so look, the Lamb is coming, y'all. Verse 15, he also said to me, the waters you saw where the prostitute was seated are people, multitudes, nations, and languages. The 10 horns you saw and the beast will hate the prostitute. They will make her desolate and naked, devour her flesh, and burn her up with fire. For God has put it into their hearts to carry out his plan by having one purpose and to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. And the woman you saw is the great city that has royal power over the kings of the earth. Okay, these are people who have influence, okay, and the different on the seven mountains of influence. Okay, and so I found it interesting in reading this, you guys. I look at the cup, right? We know that, you know, the cup means a lot. So for her, this gold cup was full of the people who are operating in, you know, sexual immorality. It says here in scripture, these spirits, these demons, they get drunk off of defiling the body of Christ. they get drunk off of the things that we do that go against the word of God. That's what gives them power. That's what makes them more powerful. So whenever we're doing it, and even the world is doing it, it makes these beasts, this beast stronger, y'all. So when I say it's layered and it's so deep, y'all, it's deeper than what we can ever imagine. If you think that what you're doing, oh, I'm just, you know, doing this one little thing. Oh, you know, I'm just doing this one, you know, mess up or whatever, it'll be okay. It is not okay. You're literally feeding the kingdom of darkness, okay, and giving it more power. Satan is always trying to accuse us of things, y'all. Always. He wants to defile purity. Why do you think we have pedophiles and we have all these people who want to, you know, sexually abuse children and people and take advantage of them because of the purity? Because of the purity, y'all, it makes these demons stronger. And it becomes a sacrifice to what they worship. And y'all have another word to give y'all, but at the whole of the video, I how do that. I don't know what I'm doing, but it's coming, okay, to expose some more things God been showing me too in that area. All right. All right. So I asked God, I'm like, God, like, do you want me to read 17, 18, 19, and 20? And he was like, you'll know, just keep reading. All right. So I'm going to keep reading, y'all. I'm going to keep reading, okay? And as I read it, and as God give me more understanding, I'll give it to you. All right. So this is chapter 18, the fall of Babylon the Great. After this, I saw another angel with great authority coming down from heaven, and the earth was illuminated by his splendor. He called out in a mighty voice, it has fallen. Babylon the Great has fallen, meaning these, you know, what I just said, this beast, right, is falling. It is going to fall. And those who are attached to her, those who are operating in this particular area are going to fall with her, okay? The body of Christ too. Those who are in the body, those who are doing this acts, period, okay? All right. This is verse 2. He called in a mighty voice, it has fallen. Babylon has the great has fallen. She has become a home for demons, a haunt for every unclean spirit, a haunt for every unclean bird, and a haunt for every unclean and despicable beast. Verse 3. For all the nations have drunk the wine of her sexual immorality, which brings wrath. The kings of the earth have committed sexual immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth have grown wealthy from her sensuality and excess. All right. And while I'm here, y'all, the colors mean some purple, and scarlet is not chosen by accident. Okay. So look that up when you get a chance. Okay. Verse 4. Then I heard another voice from heaven. Come out of her, my people, come out from her, so that you will not share in her sins or receive any of her plagues. For her sins have piled up to heaven, and God has remembered her crimes. Pay her back the way she also paid, and double it according to her works. In the cup in which she mixed, mix a double portion for her. As much as she glorified herself and indulged her sensual and excessive ways, give her that much torment and grief. For she says in her heart, I sit as a queen. I am not a widow, and I will never see grief. For this reason, her plagues will come in just one day, death and grief and famine. She will be burned up with fire because the Lord God who judges her is mighty, my God. And so again, the Lord is saying, y'all, for those of you who are continuing to sin deliberately and do not care about holiness anymore, you are going to go down with this demon and his timing. Okay, so I encourage you to get it together. God does not want his people to perish. He does not want his people to be condemned, but you are giving the enemy full, complete access. And so if you have any open door, you need to shut those doors to the enemy. And as you can see, this demon, this queen, this beast is deceived. For her to say that I will never see grief. I am not a widow. I am a queen. She is deceived, which means those of you who are operating in this spirit and this lifestyle, you are deceived. Okay? God is not a man that shall lie or the son of man that shall repent, y'all. His word is his word, whether we like it or not, it's his word. Okay? So then this is verse 9, okay, out of chapter 18 in Revelation. The kings of the earth who have committed sexual immorality and shared her sensual and excessive ways will weep and mourn over her when they see the smoke from her burning. They will stand far off in fear of her torment, saying, "Woe, woe, the great city, Babylon, the mighty city. For in a single hour, your judgment has come." In a single hour, y'all. Okay, once again, that hour is God's hour. We don't know. It could be a few days. It could be a few years. We don't know. Okay, verse 11. The merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargo any longer. So it's like God's going to be exposing them and who they really are. But she's already doing that now. Okay, doing that now. Verse 12, cargo of gold, silver, jewels, and pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, and scarlet, all kinds of fragrant wood products, objects of ivory, objects of expensive wood, brass, iron, and marble, cinnamon, spice, incense, myrrh, and frankincense, wine, olive oil, fine flour, and grain, cattle and sheep, horses and carriages, and slaves, human lives. That's what the word of God says. And so many people are like so attracted to like this lifestyle and the glitz and the glam and not really asking God how this person, how do they get what they have? But as you can see, Satan blesses people too. Okay. We know that, y'all, in scripture. This demon is adorned with so much like beauty, diamonds and pearls and color and glitz and glam. And it looks good to the to our fleshly eyes, right? But we must ask God, where did they get this wealth from? Is it from Satan or is it from God? Okay. Verse 14, the fruit you crave has left you. All your splendid and glamorous things are gone. They will never find them again. Verse 15, the merchants of these things who became rich from her will stand far off in fear of her torment, weeping and mourning, saying, "Woe, woe, the great city, dressed in the fine linen, purple and scarlet, adorned with gold, jewels, and pearls. For in a single hour, such fabulous wealth was destroyed." My God. And even now, I even hear the Holy Spirit saying, like, you guys are even looking at some of these ministries and people who are on these huge platforms, big and small, who are dressed to the nines, who look good, who is like flashy, who look, they have it all together, all this wealth, and they are some of the main ones that are going to bust hell wide open. Wide open because they have trading in their holiness, their purity, their authority, their love for God for this beast. Okay, for this beast. And many people are still deceived. It baffles me how, you know, information is coming forth, right? Left and right. Of course, test it. Take it to God. God, is this true? Lord, is this true, right? But people are still like, no, this person is not this. This person is not that. And right, we're not going to judge them, right? Well, actually, we will, to be honest, right? We judge angels too, right? Whenever Christ comes, you know, but like you have to use discernment in this hour. You have to be slow to speak, be so slow to speak and so quick to listen to the Holy Spirit. Even now, I'm being even more quick to listen even the more and slow to speak, y'all, because we really don't know if a person's heart has turned or not. Sometimes if God don't show you, if God can't show you, you're not going to know. So you have to keep your ears to him, right? And the word of God says, you know, in the last days, even the very elect will be deceived. So just because you are honoring God, you're loving God, you're serving God, you can still be deceived. I've seen it on YouTube where people are collaborating with certain people who I know for a fact is from the enemy. But that person is deceived. They love the Lord, but they are deceived by who they are collaborating with, which is from the enemy. So you got, we have to be slow to speak, okay? And quick to listen, all right? Okay. All right. So I'm going to go for, I'm going to pass through some. So as you can say, as you guys can hear thus far, this is what the Lord has been saying. Okay, I'm going to go a little bit more. So after all this has happened, right, this is chapter 19, I'm going to fast forward you guys, verse 1, celebration in heaven. After this, I heard something like the loud voice of a vast multitude in heaven saying, "Hallelujah! Salvation, glory, and power belong to our God, because his judgments are true and righteous, because he has judged the notorious prostitute who corrupted the earth with her sexual immorality, and he has avenged the blood of his servants that was on her hands." A second time they said, "Hallelujah! Her smoke ascends forever and ever." And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who was seated on the throne, saying, "Amen, hallelujah." A voice came from the throne saying, "Praise our God, all his servants and the ones who fear him, both small and great." Verse 6, "Then I heard something like the voice of a vast multitude, like the sound of a cascading waters, and like the rumbling of loud thunder, saying, 'Hallelujah, because our Lord God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us be glad, rejoice, and give him glory, because the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has prepared himself. She was given fine linen to wear, bright and pure, for the fine linen represents the righteous acts of the saints.'" My God. Verse 9, "Then he said to me, 'Write, blessed are those invited to the marriage feast of the Lamb.' He also said to me, 'These words are of God and are true.' Then I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, 'Don't do that. I'm a fellow servant with you and your brothers and sisters who hold firmly to the testimony of Christ Jesus. Worship God, because the testimony of Christ is the spirit of prophecy.'" Okay, so I'm not going to go into the next part, but if you finish reading it, you know, part 17, 18, and 19, it talks about, you know, how Christ, so he comes on a white horse, y'all. The war begins to break out. War begins to break out, and he comes and he binds the beast. He defeats the beast for 1,000 years. Then, you know, he's here on earth with us, you know, for 1,000 years. Then after that, the beast comes again and he defeats the beast just like that. So you got, it's so, oh my gosh, you got, it is so late. And so for me, when I read it, it gives me hope. It encouraged me to keep plowing for God, to keep trying my best to live a righteous and holy life. Lifestyle, right? It is possible you can do that, but you do have to understand the snares of the enemy. You have to constantly check your heart, check your motives, check where you are with Christ, right? And so with that being said, I'm going to give you guys the final part, and I will be done. Let me go to my notes real quickly, because the Holy Spirit just reminded me of that. And so one of the dreams that I had also was this. So I had another dream where I was talking to another man, and he and I were engaging in sexual encounters. Okay. I didn't see that part in my dream. I just knew it happened. All right. Thank God. Thank Jesus. So then, you know, my husband was kind of far off, and he saw me. He knew what I was doing, but he didn't check me. He didn't try to say, "Hey, you know, you're wrong." He didn't show any kind of emotion, to be honest. But then right after that, I went to the church and I preached the word of God like nothing ever happened. So the Lord began to show me. He said, "So you have people who are actually engaging in this lifestyle, right? Who don't even care about Christ and holiness and purity and trying to live right. And then you have people who know about it, whether it's a spouse, whether it's another member, whether it's their leader, whether it's their co-leader, whoever it is, and they're not checking them." Just like I said earlier in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and Paul was addressing them for not correcting each other. And Lord said, "You're going to be held accountable too. You are going to be held accountable because you're not challenging what you're seeing and what's going on. You're trying to cover it up, actually. You're covering up for that person or these people, right?" I did a video, a live teaching about a month ago now about, is God telling you to leave your church? And it's different levels to that as well, right? And this may be the reason why God is telling you to leave your church. I've definitely been places before, whether it's church or business or whatever it is, where I'm there for a season and God said, "Okay, it's time for you to go because I'm getting ready to bring judgment to this place." Okay. And I have to leave so I won't be caught in the crossfire. And so y'all, God is preparing his bride. He's cleaning the house of the, you know, the bride of Christ. He's cleansing everything. He's exposing so much. This is the year of exposure. And I even had to share this word with someone that I know who was at the actively engaging in this kind of lifestyle. I had to tell on my girl, listen, I love you, but if you don't get this area situated and with God and get it right, you're going to be exposed. And that's embarrassing. That is embarrassing. That's embarrassing. Who wants to be exposed? God has given us plenty of time to repent. And I definitely believe in restoration, restoring people, not condemning them, right? Like, y'all, repent and God will accept you back. He will. He will. I remember, you know, going back when everything first happened, you know, with, you know, R. Kelly and everything. And, you know, I was angry for different reasons. And not only that, God was doing the work in me too with a different ministry, with, you know, not with human trafficking and things like that. And I was like, oh my God, I was just so angry. And I, in my heart, in my mind, I was like, he gonna bust hell wide open, right? And the Lord corrected me. And he said, if he repents, if he come to me with a pure heart, then yes, I'll receive him. I will forgive him. And I'm like, wow, God, you right. That's in scripture. Look at Paul. Paul did it. Paul killed Christians. Paul condemned Christians, okay? And so it's not too late. Long as you have breath in your lungs, long as you're breathing, you can repent, okay? You can go to God and say, God, forgive me. Created me a clean heart. Do like David did in Psalms. He had to go to God. God, I sinned. I slept with Bathsheba. I married her. I got her husband killed. Father, forgive me. Created me a clean heart. And God did just that. And he restored him. Okay, will you be able to have the same access? Because I know what David, long story short, David, you know, God had told him that, you know, you would win every single battle. But when that happened, he did begin to lose some battles because of what he did, right? But anywho, with that being said, that's all I have for this word, you guys. I had to release it. I feel so much better, okay, in getting this word out. I will look at some of you guys' comments real quick to see, you know, what you're saying, and then I'll say a prayer, and then I'll be done. Let me see here. How you doing, Miss Beauty? Let me go. Well, I'm teaching. I like to go ahead and get it out of the way, then come back and look, okay? Yeah, it needs to be had. Thank you. Yes, yes. Yes, it's important to have friends that will lift you up and not hype you up. I'm so glad she interceded for you. Yes, she did, y'all. She covers me. That's my best friend, y'all. She covers me. A strong spirit spouse after the bride of Christ. Exactly. That's exactly what it was, for sure. Exactly. Right there in the book. Yes, there's a difference. Yes. Yes, exactly. That men, you're not going to like this word, but cry aloud and spare not. Yeah, especially in a world today where sexual immorality is embraced, where it's the norm to just do what you want to do when it comes to your body, where our body belongs to Christ, for sure. Mm-hmm. Okay, send it to my inbox. Okay. Yes. Exactly. See, that's so true. I had a lady I knew a few years back where she worked at a hospital, and the Lord was showing me in a dream that this place she worked at, it had like feces everywhere, it had urine everywhere. And the Lord said, I need for you to tell her to leave ASAP because I'm bringing judgment to that house. Like, she was clean. She was doing her job. But that's what God does, y'all. God was sending his people, his children who are carrying his light and his word to go into a place to help bring back order, to help bring conviction, to help bring, you know, about change, right? But like, if they keep rejecting what God is trying to do through you, and you can be doing this through your prayer and your presence, you don't have to say anything, you know, you're just praying in your private time. God will begin to show you what to pray for, right? Because that's how I'm like, God, why am I here? Like, I'm like, why am I here? And lo and behold, every single time I would see God move, I would see God do a thing. If they receive the change, you know, I do what I'm supposed to do, do my assignment. You know, a lot of times it's in discretion, and then I move on, right? And so don't feel like, oh my God, why God had me here? Ask God, like, don't be the one said, ask him that, but not from a place of, oh God, I want to move on. But it's a reason why God is using you in that place. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Exactly. And they don't want you to leave, especially when you're a good worker too. If you're a good worker, they don't want you to leave. Everything went down. Yes. Yes. So I'm right there with you, sis. So I'm proud of you. Keep doing what this says the Lord. Keep doing what God tells you to do.
Yes, you're so welcome. This is Tasha Clark. Thank you, woman of God. This is something God has definitely revealed to me here recently. Yes, you guys, it's bad. Like, we're supposed to be the hospital for people, right? Not joining on their sin. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 5, you can see where, you know, Paul was like, y'all worse than the world. Y'all doing more stuff than the world is doing. Even pagans have their standards. And I was like, wow. Wow, God. Yes, I'm looking on Facebook. This is the YouTube. You said, can you please drop the stream y'all link to join live stream? No. Rosa, thank you for this message. You're so welcome, woman of God. Thank you for joining in. You guys, it's all God. All I got to say. It's all the Lord. Okay. Awesome. So if you're just getting on, I'll leave the replay up here on Instagram. I also have it on YouTube and on Facebook. If you want me to send you the link, if you're on Instagram, when that comes down, I can do that for you. No problem. Just let me know. Thank you all for your prayers. I pray that you guys are being steadfast, being immovable, being unshakable, because God needs the body of Christ right now like never before. There's so much going on in the world. It's still more stuff to come. We already have like sheep everywhere. You know, in the fall, the Lord really kept having me give words of like warning, y'all. Please prepare for what's coming, right? It's here. It's already here. It's already happening. The spoil is already here. You have people who are wounded everywhere now, who are looking for a place, and we don't want to lose those sheep. God wants us to be able to be positioned to catch those sheep, right? Because the enemy is working overtime to try to destroy us. Literally destroy us, but God is greater. And I laugh a holy laugh, meaning like God is greater, y'all. God is greater. He's greater. All right. So I'm gonna pray. And then I will get off. Okay. Dreams and thank you so much, my God. You're welcome. Dreams in general and what, and I didn't see the rest of your message to Tasha. If you want to type it there, you can. Okay, here you go. All righty. Yes, he is. All right. My assignment, it can be like that in a relationship to my assignment to end. They didn't want me to go. Yep, that's right. Yep, take it up with God, sir. That's right. Oh, okay. So I'm going to say a prayer and then I'll leave. Okay. So Father, I just thank you for your word, God, for those who are up here, Lord God. I speak life over them, God. I pray, God, you continue to guide them, continue to cover them, God. God, continue to give them revelation, increase of your word, God. Increase, Lord God, of discernment, Father. Father, I pray, God, for their strength, God, that God, they will be, remain immovable, God. They'll remain unshakable, Father, that God, they'll be a light, God, in dark places, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing in this hour. Yes, God, things are going wrong left and right, but God, you are setting things back in order, God. You are putting the house of God and bringing the body of Christ, God, back in alignment with you. So I thank you, God, for alignment. I thank you, God, for allowing me, God, to be a vessel, God, for your word, God. I don't take it lightly, God. I thank you, Lord God, for just being such a good, good father, God, in the midst of everything that's going on in this world. And so, Father, I just thank you. I bless you. We praise you. We give you the glory, honor, and the praise. In Christ's name I pray. Amen and amen. That's all I have, you guys. Until next time, you guys have a great and blessed weekend. Yes. All right. So I'm in here. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in today. My prayer is that this has blessed you. Please be sure to subscribe to my podcast and also follow me on social media. I'm on Instagram, LinkedIn, TikTok, and on YouTube. And while you're there, also consider joining my email list to receive updates and news about all things faith and mental wellness, all things in Power Purpose Academy, and everything that's going on with me in ministry. So I will leave that link for you in the description box, and I will talk to you next time.